All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 22, 2 Kings chapter 22. And I want to speak this morning on the boy king Josiah. All right, the boy king, that's what they called him in the Bible, because he was only 8 years old when he assumed the throne of Judah. Isn't that something? 8-year-old boy. You say, why'd they do that? Well, there's a long story behind it, but basically the devil was trying to cut off the line that goes to the Messiah. And Josiah was in the only one eligible to be the king of Judah because he was in the line of David. All right, and so they looked around. There was nobody else, only Josiah. But they had a little problem because he was only 8 years old. All right, how many of you have an 8-year-old child or grandchild? Raise your hand. You have an 8-year-old. Can you imagine them sitting on the throne of a nation? You know, all right, I order everybody to eat pizza for the next year for dinner. Yeah, we're going to have donuts for breakfast. Yeah, that'd be right up your alley, wouldn't it? But anyway, all right, you there? 2 Kings 22. Okay, let's just read two verses this morning for the sake of time. And I'll tell you the story here in just a moment to complete what I should probably have read. But if you look at verse 8, it says, "And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan." Remember now, he's the scribe. So Hilkiah, the high priest, gave the book to the scribe, and he read it. And Shaphan, the scribe, came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." All right, now I'll stop reading right there because my text verse this morning is going to be verse 8. So I'll stop reading right there. And I'm going to entitle my sermon this morning, Check, Lost, and Found. All right, Check, Lost, and Found. It's amazing what you can find in lost and found. You know it? Yeah. And I'm not sure that there was a lost and found department in the temple. Hilkiah was in there nosing around, and they were doing some work. They had turned, believe it or not, the people weren't using the temple, so they used it as a place to just throw rubbish, to throw trash. It was just a mess. Everything was in terrible shape. So Josiah, when he got about 18 years old, verse 2, it's verse 3. If you look in verse 3, he got about 18 years old, and he decided that God's house should not be in such disrepair. So he hired some folks, and they came in and started to clean up the temple, and when they were cleaning up the temple, that's when Hilkiah found the copy of the law. He said, "I have in verse 8, I have found the book of the law." Now, the book of the law, we would call it today the Torah. All right, the Jews call it the Torah. That's Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. All right, the first five books of the Bible. And that contained the law of Moses. And so he came out and he said, "I have found the law. Well, that changed everything when he did. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for the opportunity we have to open your precious word. And Father, I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts this morning. I ask you to give us understanding, give us ears to hear. And Father, may we leave here this morning rejoicing at what you have done in our hearts. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I always, always get a big kick out of these nights we have with the parents at Carroll Christian School. There are things like the Christmas concert. There are things like the Easter program, the spring program, those type of things. And we'll have the parents here, and our staff always puts together about three or four tables, and we put all the stuff that the kids have left, all right? They just walk away and leave it. And doesn't occur to them, wait a minute, I probably should look and see if my jacket is here. Oh, no. I mean, it's bone cold outside, but don't worry about that. I mean, I got other things to do. So they take off, leave the jacket, and never even come back to look for them. That's the funny part. I don't understand that. You'd think that the next morning, you know, they would go to put their coat on, not be able to find it, and then come into school and say, hey, can I look in the lost and found? My coat is missing. No, they don't do that. They wait until there is, and there's only like two or three of these all year long, where the parents are here for a program, and then we say, out in the foyer or over in Baker, sometimes it has to be in Baker because we have so much stuff collected, and it's just amazing how there will be three, four tables full of stuff that these kids have left behind. There might be a $250 pair of Michael Jordan basketball shoes. Now, pray tell me, why does a grade school kid need a $250 pair of basketball shoes? All right, I guess to be cool, that's the only reason. I've watched all these kids play basketball. There's not a Michael Jordan among them. All right? I mean, ouch. All right, there might be a $150 coat or all these pants. What do they do when they run out of pants? Does mom go buy more? I don't know, but there'll be pants and shirts and sweatshirts. Sweatshirts are, there's a lot of them, you know, a lot of them. We ought to have a school year sale at the end of the year out in the parking lot, and Carroll Christian would make a fortune, I think. But anyway, I always get a kick out of these moms. They stand there and they'll pick something up and you can just see the steam coming out of their ears, you know. It's hilarious. But anyway, I want to show you what the Bible says about one of Judah's kings. His name was Josiah. And he ended up being one of the greatest kings Judah ever saw sit upon the throne of David. And I want to point out some things to you about him. Now, if you look at verse 1, you will see here that he was 8 years old when he began to reign. 8 years of age. That's amazing. He certainly had a good mother. Had a good mother, and certainly had some close relatives who gave him good advice. But anyway, he ended up being one of Judah's most respected and loved kings that ever served. Now, after he had been on the throne for 10 years, when he was 18 years of age, he noticed that God's house, the temple, had gone neglected for far too long. So he set out to clean everything up and to make the house of God respectable once again. Now you imagine the temple was filled with rubbish, with trash. Well, while they were cleaning things out and repairing the inside of the temple area, somebody, Hilkiah, found a copy of the law of Moses. The first five books of the Bible, all right, the Torah. And he was excited about that. And he came out and he showed it to Shaphan, who was the head scribe. So it was his responsibility to take care of the scriptures. It was Shaphan's responsibility as the head scribe, as the general of the scribes. And so Shaphan took the law and read it, and then he came to Josiah, and Hilkiah came to Josiah, and Hilkiah said to him, I have found the book of the law which in the house of the Lord. Now, folks, let me tell you, they had the Bible, all right? They had it. They lost it, but it was theirs. It was in their possession. Now, don't lose sight of that fact, all right? They had the scriptures. It's not like Judah didn't have the scriptures. They did, but it was lost. Do you see that? And because it was lost, nobody knew what the law had to say. I mean, there was no activity going on at the temple. They weren't able to have sacrifices. The house of God had been left to disarray, and trash was everywhere, and nobody went in to pray. I mean, it was just going through the motions of being a theocracy. The fact that God was to rule and lead the nation. That was just all, you know, like Paul said in the New Testament, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So it was bad. Everything was bad. And when they found the law, Hilkiah got excited and Shaphan got excited, and they brought it to Josiah. He's 18 years old now. And when Josiah was sitting on the throne, those two came in and said, sir, we have found a copy of the book of the law of Moses. We have found the book. I mean, that's how he phrases it. Look at it. I have found the book of the law. And so when he said that, Josiah got excited, and he said that he wanted it read to him. Now, I can't wait to get to heaven, and I'm going to ask Hilkiah, if I run into him, and I'm sure I will, I'm going to ask Hilkiah when I get to heaven, sir, did you find the Bible in the lost and found? Do you know how many Bibles we find in the lost and found? You know, this is Carroll Christian Schools. Every grade has Bible as a class. And we got dozens upon dozens upon dozens of Bibles in lost and found. Something's not right. You know, we find them from church as well. I mean, folks, that's what's wrong with our country. America has lost the book. We have lost our moral conscience. We have lost our moral center. We've lost a book. And because we have, we're in the condition that we are in today. Now, for a long time, the rulers and the priests and the masses of the people had been ignorant of their Bible, which here was called the Book of the Law. It is the it is that fact that accounts for why the spread of the worship of Baal became so prominent and acceptable by the people. By the time you get to Josiah, God was out, Baal was in. But God was out. You see, that's what happens when you get rid of God. You got to put something to take God's place on the throne of your life. That's just the way it is. That's the way God has created this world. And so it explains the fact that they had lost the book, explains the neglect in the house of God, the temple. And all the services and all the sacrifices and all the worship of God that was supposed to go on there. But they lost it all. And the reason is because they lost the book. They lost the book. And it also explains why Judah had gotten so far away from the Lord. It was such a low place for Judah spiritually. But thank God, Josiah said, "Read that law to me." And when the law was read to the king was broken. And he got on his face before God and repented. And he put on sackcloth and ashes, which is a sign of repentance. And he went out to the people and called them to come. And Shaphan and Hilkiah then read the book of the law to the people. And when they heard the book of the law, revival swept across Judah. They got their Bibles back. They got their Bibles back. Thank God for this 18-year-old teenager who was broken when he heard the law being read. Preacher of the past said, getting right with God must begin with the man in charge. That was the king. He then said, the head of the nation will lead Judah to repentance. And that's exactly what happened in this story. Wouldn't it be awesome if the president of the United States would come before the nation and take a Bible and open it up and say, "Folks, I think I found our problem. And I'm going to introduce Pastor Norse Belcher. He's going to come and tell you what that problem is." Thank you, sir. I got a few things burdening my heart this morning. Yes, indeed. You see, folks, after the nation's leaders got right with God, Josiah assembled the leaders of the people from all over Judah and Benjamin, the southern kingdom, and had the law read to them. And their reaction was the very same reaction that Josiah had, their king, and they agreed with the 18-year-old king, and there was repentance from the king all the way down to the very least in the kingdom. You see, they decided then to finish cleansing the temple, and they reinstituted the worship of God Almighty once again, and then agreed to go throughout Judah and destroy any vestige of Baal that they could find. They just destroyed everything that had to do with the worship of Baal. Man, thank God for that. You see, false religion is like a cancer that just eats away at the very heart and life of a nation. Right. Now, all of this was brought about by the recovery or the rediscovery of God's inspired word. Now, question is this morning, how can we lose the book today? You ever think about that? I mean, I think we have lost it. I really do. I mean, I honestly, I believe that we have lost the book. And because we have, we've lost our consciousness. We've lost the book. How can we lose the Bible today? Let me give you just a couple of ways we can do that. Number one, we can lose the Bible through neglect. Through neglect. You know, just like it was lost in Josiah's day, it can be lost today. Back in Josiah's day, they had a Bible. I mean, they had one. Hilkiah came out of the temple with the law in his hand. They had it, but they had lost it. And because they had lost it, no one knew anything about it. You see, folks, it was lost, but no one knew that it was lost. They didn't even know what they were missing. They had no idea they were lost to the book. You see, we can get so busy with everything, like our work and our hobbies and our children and little leagues and running our kids from here to there and school and home and to homework and all the other things that we get involved in. I can remember my kids having to have help with homework. Well, they came to me for English, literature, Bible, science, and history, but never math. Never. One of them would say, "Mom, can you help me with my math homework?" And I would say, "I will." And they'd sympathetically look at me and say, with a condescending smile, "It's okay, Dad. Mom will help us." Oh, I wasn't offended. I'm not bitter over that. All right, maybe a little. But folks, don't miss the point. They had a Bible, but the one they had was lost. The one they had was lost through neglect. It's amazing how we can lose the Bible so easily through neglect. We come out of church and we toss our Bible in the back seat, and there it stays until the next time we go to church. There is sitting on a coffee table a Bible that has stacks and stacks of papers and books and puzzle books and word search books and Sudoku books and all the rest of the stuff that entertains us. You certainly can't be entertained by television these days, that's for sure, unless you got a filthy mind. But anyway, they're sitting on the coffee table, all this stuff. And where's my Bible? Well, it's underneath all that. Good luck finding it. And we neglect the Bible. Weeks can pass. Maybe even months can pass. And this book of the law is not consulted by those who ought to consult the book every day of their lives. You see, we need that book. We need that book. We should not be neglecting the book of the law. We need that book. I need it. You need it. We all need it. It's not something that a Christian can just take or leave. If we have that attitude, what we're going to do is leave it. And then we end up in bad spiritual shape because we're not in the book the way we ought to be. You know, after the nation's leaders got right with God, Josiah assembled the leaders of the people from all over Judah and Benjamin and had the law read to them. And their reaction was, wow, this is amazing. And they repented and they got right with the Lord. Don't miss the point, folks. The Bible made the difference in their people and their nation. Amen. It will make a difference. As we stay constantly occupied day and night, we are letting the Bible get away from us. And boy, we need to get into the book. Amen. Just get into the Word of God. The law of God was there, but it was lost. And when it was found, it brought to Josiah and the people a great national revival. It affected the whole country. And the king had his heart stirred, and so he said, let's gather the people and read it to the people. And when he did, revival broke loose all over Judah. Why? Because the Bible had been found. You know, let me ask you a question. Suppose the government came in and said, we're taking your Bible away from you. What would you do then? Would all of a sudden the Bible become important to you? I think it would. Don't you? I think it would. I think it would get real important to you right there. All right, second thing, how can the Bible be lost? Well, secondly, the Bible can be lost through substitution. You see, we can substitute so many other things today for the Word of God. I remember asking my grandfather one time, I said, what did you all do before television? And my grandfather said, well, believe it or not, we talked. I said, well, boy, there's a novel idea. Yeah, we would sit and talk to one another. And then he thought, as he continued thinking, and he thought, he said, well, I can remember my mother reading the Bible to us every night. She would read the Bible to us, and then we'd go to bed. And I thought, wow, that's great. Why don't we get back to that? Amen. I think we should. You see, the Bible, though, can be lost through substitution. Now, what do I mean by we can put other things in the place of the Bible? Well, you might remember the Lord Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus said, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. In other words, all over the world, the Lord, the church has substituted the Bible for entertainment. That's all over the world today. The Bible has been substituted for entertainment. It has also been substituted in many cases by technology. By technology. I have people ask me all the time, Pastor, why don't we use screens and put the hymns up on the screen? I said, because I want you to have the hymn book in front of you. I want you reading what you're singing. I want it to be important to you. I don't want you standing here gawking around, looking around. I want you, if we have a songbook, you have to physically stand up and hold that songbook and sing out of it. And the next step after getting all these screens up here is to sing a bunch of choruses. I'm not against choruses, but not in church. I want to sing hymns in church. And if you are fussing about that, if you're one that's fussing about that, it's my fault. Because I'm not changing. I'm too old to change. If I change my, I'll self-destruct. I'll ignite, just poof, and I'll be gone. You say, hallelujah. Well, you better not say hallelujah. All right, God's listening. But folks, let's be real. All over the world, the church has substituted the Bible for entertainment. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21 to the church at Corinth, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." In other words, they got rid of God through their quote unquote wisdom. Well, folks, if that is what wisdom produces, oh, wait a minute, that's not what wisdom produces, is it? No, that was worldly wisdom that produced that. There is a worldly wisdom and there is a godly wisdom. I want the godly, don't you? We all have plenty of the world. But anyway, Paul said, it pleased God, listen to this now, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Do you know what part of the church has the biggest stigma against it? Preaching. People don't want preaching today. They don't want it, especially if it's convicting. They don't want it. Several years ago, this has been like 30 years ago now, believe it or not. But several years ago, a bunch of pollsters were hired by some preachers, by some guys that were pastoring churches out west in California, out on the left coast. And they hired a bunch of pollsters to go all over the country into communities and just knock on doors and ask people what they wanted in church. What would you like church to be? And then they came and they put all their information together. And they found out that what the people want is this. They wanted to go to church without going to church. So that's why when you drive around the communities today, you see all these church buildings, but they don't have church in their name. Because they don't want to be identified with church. All right? And then they said, we do not want preaching. We want that to be gone. And they do not want an invitation. I mean, you don't want an invitation? Nope. Don't want to, I don't want that because I don't want to feel guilty. Don't want to feel guilty. When I heard that, or when I read that, I said, wow, of course they don't. I mean, who would? People want to substitute the Bible for entertainment. They want to be entertained when they come to church. And that's what goes on in churches today. Entertainment. Entertainment. People substitute the Bible for entertainment. They want to substitute the Bible to get it out of their quote unquote church because they don't want to feel the conviction or the guilt when the Bible is proclaimed. And so That's what they're giving them. That's what these new churches are giving everybody. You think that this is a grassroots movement? No. This was studied, and then it popped up. These guys that got the information wrote books on the emerging church. They said the church is dead. Denominational church, it's dead. And so they wanted to emerge a new church out of the old church. And this is what they gave us, or gave the world. Didn't give it to me. But this is what they gave the world. Now, folks, listen. We need to understand. These scribes and Pharisees that Jesus rebuked here a moment ago when he said that they make the word of God of none effect, these folks, these Pharisees, these scribes were rebuked. They were the teachers of religion. They taught the people how to worship God. And Jesus said, you guys are way off base. You're way off base. You have made the word of God of none effect by the way that you have done away with conviction and preaching and the gospel and sound biblical ideology. Your theology has gotten all off. Theos, the study of God. Theology. Theos means God. Ology means the science of. All right? So that's where we are. People don't want God. They don't want the Bible. Do you remember how they came to Jesus and they said, here's their tradition, all right? Now get ready. The disciples and Jesus were walking on the Sabbath day, and as they went by through a field, the barley was growing, and the barley's tops, they were going by and just peeling it off the stalk as they went, popping it in their mouth and eating it. They must have been hungry. But that's what they were doing. And the Pharisees and the scribes came and they said, your disciples ate grain while they were walking through the field. They were eating on the Sabbath day. So they have grievously sinned against God Almighty. And when Jesus healed that fellow with the withered arm in Capernaum, the Pharisees threw a fit because Jesus healed that man on the Sabbath day. You see, those material things were not the essence of the law, but that's what they focused on. They made majors out of minors and minors out of majors. But that's where it gets to when you get away from the book. You focus on the wrong thing. You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. All right, you got that? But these Pharisees, boy, that's what they did. They set aside the word of God for their traditions, for their human traditions, things that were added to the word of God. And those traditions became the focus, not the word of God. And then lastly, we are in danger of losing the book through mutilation. Mutilation. We've lost the book, folks. We've lost it by taking out a little bit here and a little bit there. Oh, I don't like that verse. I'm going to scratch that one out. I don't like that verse. I'm never going to preach on that one. You know, we're in danger of losing the book. I mean, you can't take a pair of scissors to the Bible. and it's not yours to mess with, so you ought to leave it alone. The King James Bible has been tested and tried in a furnace of fire 7 times. It is a Bible that we in the English-speaking world can trust. In 1611, a committee of 70 men worked on the King James English Bible. They used all of the manuscripts that were available to them and other copies of readings and songs and hymns that were written in Latin and Greek and German, and they translated the Hebrew and the Aramaic in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament to the English language. The King James has endured attacks and criticism and hatred and scorn, but it still stands. And in the late 1800s, a couple of college professors found 2 corrupt copies of the Bible dating back to the 300s. And they took those Bibles, and they compared the two. They found out that they were both translated about the same time, but in different areas. And they found out that those 2 Bibles were not even complete manuscripts. One had several pages that had been torn out so that the priest at St. Catherine's monastery could light their lamps with. And when they took the 2 and compared the 2, they did not even agree with each other. But they translated them and came up with what they called the critical text. The King James was translated from over 5,400 manuscripts and or partial manuscripts. And they came up with the King James from 4,400. Isn't that amazing? And yet all these new Bibles, over 450 of them now, they've been translated from the 2. 2. And they are wrong in so many places.
That's right.
So it's easier to understand. No, it's not. No, it's not. Your King James Bible was written on a 5th grade level. How many of you graduated 5th grade? You didn't? Well, did you drop out of school or did they throw you out? They probably threw you out, didn't they? You see the point, folks? The Word of God lost its effect through mutilation. And folks, I just think if we got back to the Bible in our country and we had a president who stood up and said, folks, I found the book. Let me read the book to you. And just started reading the Gospel of John. And just started reading Leviticus 19. Hello. Some of those chapters that deal with the same sex stuff. It's an abomination. So I got an idea. Why don't we all stop at the lost and found table? And let's just get our Bible back. All right? Let's just get our Bible back. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts this morning. Give us understanding of what we have heard. There are sometimes where we just have to come face to face with Bible truth. And Father, I pray that you'll help folks to see that truth this morning. The only thing the Lord Jesus ever put above his own name was his word. And so, Father, bless your word. Give us understanding of your word. May the word of God make a difference in our hearts and in our lives. I pray you'll help us to find the book again. Father, help our nation to find the book again. Give us the wisdom to do that. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do for us in Christ's name. Amen.